Every region is different, right? And so where storage fits in is kind of a function of what the local mix of generation is, right? If you're focused on the wholesale markets, it's a very big difference to be going into PJM right now, where there's something like 19 gigawatts of merchant gas generation that's been developed in recent years, versus going into California, where they are aggressively trying to shut down every single one of their remaining gas plants, like as fast as they can do it without impacting reliability. So it's night and day different. Like I mentioned earlier, solar is a huge driver, right? So solar, predictable. It comes up, it goes down, it creates a ramp that is very difficult for grid operators to deal with. There's intermittency when clouds go over that's very difficult for grid operators to deal with. And batteries are the fastest responding, most accurate responding resources that can be built for the grid right now. Because they don't have any spinning mass, right? There's a real constraint in how fast you can change the output of a turbine. It's this enormous spinning thing, but a battery can be on in a split second. And so, we hope to see that all markets start paying for that flexibility, paying for the benefit that goes to the grid operators, and you just have to go place by place and look at the tariff and see is there a structure by which to get paid for providing this. Better service than a gas unit could.
Yeah, we're starting to look at storage a little bit differently now. We are starting to look at storage as a modifier to production. So, for example, we're working on a large solar project in ERCOT, and it will likely be hedged. And we're working with a hedge provider to come up with the optimal generation profile. And it may not be that intermittent solar profile. Maybe there's more value in the front or the back hours. And then we just run a cost-benefit analysis of putting a storage there on our own tab to see how the value of electricity over time will benefit the project. That's new. That hasn't really been done before.
Potentially.
Yeah, for us, as we look at other markets, I think we just have to have that one anchor revenue stream that we can leverage at the end of the day. We don't do R&D. We're not a fully merchant player. So we need to find the right opportunities that have that anchor source or a revenue stream that is predictable enough that you can put project debt on. We just haven't seen those opportunities develop as fast as we had hoped in other markets beyond California.
Thanks. That's all really helpful. And in fact, it reminds us all of FERC Order 841, which was issued last year, which requires, for those who don't know, FERC Order 841 requires all ISOs, all FERC-regulated ISOs, so not ERCOT, but all the others, to implement rules by the end of this year, which open access to storage and accommodate storage and its compatibility. So that should potentially move the needle as well across the country. Let's move to the next and last kind of module here, which I think all of us are going to be very excited about: deal structures, contract issues, and the financeability of deal structures and storage. And maybe just a quick note, Oric, our law firm, issued an article on this just last year. So in all your materials, there should be an article on deal structures, regulatory issues, tax issues, et cetera. So if you want to go into more detail and fall asleep, feel free to read that at your leisure. So what are the fundamental requirements for financing a battery storage project? From our perspective, what we see, two things, and I'd love to hear your views on this. Like you said, a take-or-pay contract that monetizes one revenue stream at least, right, that hopefully holds up some portion of the debt. And second, something to backstop the technology and credit risk of the batteries, right, like acceptance tests, long-term performance guarantees issued by creditworthy vendors. But we'd love to open up what does it take to actually finance a battery storage project, front of the meter or behind the meter?
Yeah, and the other big aspect beyond the technology and the utility revenue is from behind the meter perspective is the credit quality of the hosts, and what does that host profile look like? What is that CNI customer? Are they going to be around for the duration of the utility contract? Our utility contracts with SCE are 10 years. So lenders are very focused on, is that load profile going to change? Or is that customer going to go away? Are you going to have to move the battery? So getting all of those contracts uniform across that universe And with credit-worthy counterparties is a challenge. And you know, thank God for ORIC that you know we've had to bang all those contracts into shape in order to put project finance debt on this portfolio. But when we financed our first portfolio, we had two hosts. One very credit-worthy commercial real estate owner in Southern California, and a water utility, essentially. And the financing we just did, there were 17 hosts. So very varied profile. And when we fully commercialize the portfolio, we'll have 30 different hosts. And they all look different. And getting that package together in a way that lenders can digest is probably one of the biggest challenges in behind the meter finance. And then obviously everyone has the questions on, who is the battery manufacturer? Are they going to be around? How are they going to service all the guarantees in place? How do you go after them if there's shortfalls? That's all blocking and tackling fundamentals. But I think that's probably a secondary concern beyond the host side.